News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. A whole family was nearly wiped out after a building collapse in Mumbai led to the death of 9 of its members. 11 people, including 8 children, were killed and 7 others injured after 2 floors of the 3-story building collapsed on a single-story house in Malwani area late on Wednesday night. Mohammed Rafi, who had gone out to buy milk, could not believe his eyes when he returned to find his house lying in ruins and locals removing the debris from the spot. Gathering courage, Rafi began searching for his family members in the remains of what was his house only an hour ago. It was morning by the time it could be confirmed that he had lost his wife, brother, sister-in-law and 6 children from the 2 families, a report by Hindi daily Dainik Bhaskar said. According to PTI, he is now left with his 16-year-old son, who also had a miraculous escape, as he had gone out to buy some medicine when the tragedy struck. A shocked and broken Rafi later said he would have moved out of the house had he known the building was shaky. He was now left with the only option to try and salvage anything from the rubble that could remind him of his family members. "We did not know that this building had become so weak, otherwise we could have left it long back," he said. Rafi and his whole family were staying in the 3 small rooms on the 3rd floor of the building. The BMC had not declared the building 3 to 4 families were staying in as dangerous. 2 of the families had moved out of the building just a few days back. According to BMC sources, this building in the new collector compound on the Abdul Hamid Road had become shaky during Cyclone Tauti that hit the west coast last month. However, this building did not figure in the list of the ones declared unfit to live. Had this building been included in the hundreds of buildings audited by the BMC, this accident would not have claimed so many lives. Expressing anger over the incident, BJP leader Ram Kadam has said that Shiv Sena is responsible for this accident. This accident has happened due to the negligence of the BMC, which is ruled by Shiv Sena. "It is not an accident, it is murder," he said. After the building collapsed, the government announced an ex gratia payment of Rs 5 lakh each to the family of the deceased. Maharashtra Chief Minister Uddhav Thackeray and Aditya Thackeray visited those injured in the incident. All the injured have been admitted to the Shatabdi Hospital. The legal team of fugitive Diamante Mehul Choksi in London has approached the Metropolitan Police under the Universal Jurisdiction Provision to investigate his alleged kidnapping from Antigua and Barbuda to neighbouring Dominica, lawyer Michael Polak said. Polak said Choksi was removed from Antigua and Barbuda, where as a citizen he enjoys rights to approach the British Privy Council as last resort in cases on his citizenship and extradition to Dominica, where these rights are not available to him. He said English courts and British police have universal jurisdiction to probe such cases wherever they take place. In a media interaction through video conferencing, Polak, who's part of Choksi's defense team, said Metropolitan Police has a unit to investigate torture, war crimes and genocide wherever they take place. Polak said Metropolitan Police has said that they would send an investigator to see what has happened. "The process is with Metropolitan Police and we will let them carry out their investigations. We say in this case there is evidence of torture," he said. Polak, who seems to have done a thorough research on the circumstances in which Choksi was abducted, strongly indicated but stopped short of saying it was the handiwork of Indian agencies. "I think the motive really speaks for itself. It is a very important thing to look at. India obviously wants to try to remove Choksi to India. Had he signed a piece of paper that said he has already been there? The fact that there was an Indian plane in Dominica soon after shows what was going on here," he said. Polak has alleged that people involved in the kidnapping had conducted a dry run in April. Giving details of the abduction attempt, Polak said Barbara Jabarika, who lured Choksi to her Airbnb accommodation on May 23, had specifically asked the owner if there is a place for docking a small boat in the backyard. Showing chats between Jabarika and The owner of the properties, Polak, said she had discussed taking two adjoining properties after getting confirmation about docking place for boats. Polak alleged that one property was used by people with her who were part of the kidnapping team. The lawyer claimed that soon after the kidnapping, Jabarika left Antigua and Barbuda in a private plane to Dominica at 7:26 p.m. as she felt safe from investigation. In the complaint, Polak has reportedly named Gurdeep Bhatt, Gurjeet Singh Bhandal and Gurmeet Singh, besides Jabarika. The National Assembly of Pakistan on Thursday adopted a bill that would give the right to appeal to Indian national Kulbhushan Jadhav, who has been languishing in jails of the neighbouring country since 2016 after he was kidnapped by Pakistani intelligence agencies from Iran. In its 2019 ruling, the International Court of Justice had asked Pakistan to give an effective review and reconsideration to Jadhav's case. While India maintains that Jadhav, a former Navy officer, is a private citizen and was kidnapped from Iran, where he had gone for a business dealing and then handed over to Pakistan Army, Islamabad continues to allege that Jadhav is an Indian spy responsible for carrying out terror attacks inside Pakistan. A military court had sentenced Jadhav to death, after which the government of India had moved the ICJ. Following a favorable ruling to India, Pakistan granted consular access to Jadhav. On September 2, 2019, the then Indian charge d'affaires Gaurav Ahluwalia met him in a Pakistani jail. The Pakistan government had earlier enacted an ordinance titled International Court of Justice CJ Review and Reconsideration Ordinance 2020 on May 29, 2020. It was presented and adopted in the National Assembly on Thursday after an approval from the Standing Committee. As soon as the government moved the bill in the National Assembly, the members from the opposition parties stood up on their benches and raised objections against it and termed it a surrender of the government before Indian demands. They accused the Imran Khan-led government of working at the behest of India. Minister of Foreign Affairs Shah Mahmood Qureshi, who moved the bill in the National Assembly, said Pakistan was only following the ruling of the International Court of Justice, as he accused the opposition members of speaking the language of India. "You are the people who spoiled Jadhav's story. We are the ones who saved the image of Pakistan. India wants to drag Pakistan to the ICJ and say it failed to follow the ruling," Qureshi said. "We say that we respect the directions of the ICJ, wherein it asked us to give consular access to Jadhav," he added. Russian authorities on Thursday ordered Facebook and the messaging app Telegram to pay steep fines for failing to remove banned content, a move that could be part of growing government efforts to tighten control over social media platforms amid political dissent. A Moscow court fined Facebook a total of 17 million rubles, or roughly $236,000. And Telegram 10 million rubles, or $139,000. It wasn't immediately clear what type of content the platforms failed to take down. It was the second time both companies have been fined in recent weeks. On May 25, Facebook was ordered to pay 26 million rubles, or $362,000, for not taking down content deemed unlawful by the Russian authorities. A month ago, Telegram was also ordered to pay 5 million rubles, or $69,000, for not taking down calls to protest. Earlier this year, Russia's state communications watchdog started slowing down Twitter and threatened it with a ban, also over its alleged failure to take down unlawful content. Officials maintained the platform failed to remove content encouraging suicide among children and containing information about drugs and child pornography. The crackdown unfolded after Russian authorities criticized social media platforms that have been used to bring tens of thousands of people into the streets across Russia this year to demand the release of jailed Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, President Vladimir Putin's most well-known critic. The wave of demonstrations has been a major challenge to the Kremlin. Officials alleged that social media platforms failed to remove calls for children to join the protests. Putin has urged police to act more to monitor social media platforms and to track down those who draw children into illegal and unsanctioned street actions. The Russian government's efforts to tighten control of the internet and social media date back to 2012, when a law allowing authorities to blacklist and block certain online content was adopted. Since then, a growing number of restrictions targeting messaging apps, websites, and social media platforms have been introduced in Russia. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.